Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. That news report was sponsored by Pearl Mortgage. Yeah, you hear the music. That's time for Wonder Woman. That's our series where we focus on amazing women around the Chicagoland area who've done some pretty tremendous things. And we like to share it here on the Frank Fontana Show. And joining me, sitting next to me on my right, is Edna Jacqueline. You heard a little bit of her story. I was reading some of her bio. Edna, thanks for joining me.
Hola, amigo. Thank you very much. Yes, I'm very excited to come back in here. I have the opportunity to be in a Wonder Woman show around, I believe, September, October. And it was preparing me to go in Antarctica. So thank you, everybody, for listening to me again. So yes. Now I'm here with all the series, the four deserts all done.
So tell me about it. You're a ultra marathoner. Is that what it is?
Yes, I am. It's basically when after you run 26 miles, the regular marathon, we have in a consideration that it is part of the ultra running, which is basically 50 miles, 60 miles, 80 miles.
Straight, 60 miles straight.
Right. And then also we have another type of the school. Basically is running straight or running in a stage. And the four desert series is in a stage. And before I came to running via as a runner in a stage, I was running straight.
Straight marathons.
Correct. So it's
have you run
excited.
Chicago Marathon before?
Yes. It's one of my best marathon in the world. I love Chicago, and this is one of my main commitments to run the only marathon that I like it.
Are you from Chicago, or do you live in Chicago now?
I live in Chicago. I'm born in Mexico. I'm born in Monterrey, is the town where I'm born. And then basically my life started as a runner, as an ultramarathoner, when I was 17 years old. So I have 19 years running these things.
And your knees are still holding up?
Yes, absolutely. I think everything is when everything comes to be a good runner when you have the patience to develop yourself as an ultramarathoner. It requires a lot, of course, endurance, long distances. Training as, you know, put some miles according to what your body can hold. And right now, after quite a few years, I do believe I learned to be very patient to and developing the endurance that I have right now, and be more smart, more wise to select the races that I can be, that I can grow up, but also take care of myself for prevent injuries and continue to have this beautiful journey and adventure life as an ultramarathoner.
Do you train year round for them?
Yes. So basically what I do, I train more in trails compared than in concrete. One of the things that we can see is running in regular marathons in streets or in concrete. In my perspective, you can get more injuries because yeah. It's different.
On the street.
Correct.
Because of the pounding?
Correct. So one of the things is in your knees, you can have more pain in your quads. And it's different.
Yeah.
I respect so much marathons running in concrete compared than in trail. In trail, you have a more diversity of the terrain. So your muscles, you always going to use different. So it's not the same impact that
sure.
you give in the marathon. So in here, you have to prepare, of course, to have the endurance, prepare your legs to up climbing and then down the hills and then jump in every different angles. So training in trails is the main key for me in that perspective to developing more endurance and for be prepared for these type of races that I come to be.
So it also activates your fast and slow twitch muscles, correct?
Like yes.
Working on the different terrain.
Mm-hmm. And then another thing that I use for be a little more strong is I swim and also I train in boxing. So my husband, he is a personal trainer here in Chicago, where
nice.
I don't love fitness. So I really don't like lifting weights, but I have to have a strong body, my core, my shoulders. In this particular race that I'm going to talk in a little bit, you need to have your back has to be strong enough to carry in the backpack for around 15 and 20 pounds.
Is that loose weight or is that kind of like just a full backpack, balanced weight?
It's a full backpack. You have to put in there for 7 days. You have to put meals. You have to carry in a sleeping bag. You have to carry in
wait, hold on. Did you say 7 days? That's how long this race is?
Yes. Yes, so...
So you're sleeping somewhere for a little? Are you sleeping out in the wilderness?
Yes, let me talk to you a little bit. So this area is Fort Desert. Fort Desert is the more extreme races in desert in the world. I run in 2013. It was the first one. It was in Chile. In Chile, El Atacama is the most arid desert in the world. And the dynamic for these races is we traveled all through over there. And the race started in the middle of the desert. And in 7 days, we live in the most austerity life. It's nothing comfortable. You don't take a shower. It's nothing pleasure. But it's one of the things that I really evaluated how life is come to be very interesting.
I was going to say, you know, because there's a whole other side to this as to why somebody chooses to do this, you know, from a spiritual, psychological side of it. You know, this is not just I'm running a race. This is I'm going to put myself in extreme circumstances, potentially dangerous circumstances. I'm assuming, are you with her husband?
Yes.
No, your husband's not with you.
No,
literally. He might fly with you there, but not on the actual journey itself.
Right.
Why?
I think one, I've found that three main elements for me, from my perspective that I use it, is of course the physical activity, the mental activity, and the spiritual activity. When you make three elements as your main formula, is the potential to develop yourself and find out how much you can go, how far you can go, how many abilities more you can have. As I say, in the physical aspect, I training, I prepare myself, and the mental too. Is endurance, is the ability to understand who you are, where you are, and dissolving problems. How you going dissolving yourself? What is the result that you're going to give to yourself when you are in the middle of nothing? When you are crossing the desert for around 115 degrees, and you present in that terrain, for this instance in Atacama, the terrain is salty grounds that the salt by you. It's
no,
like,
folks, keep
it's
in
different.
Mind, Edna's all about maybe five bucks.
Yeah.
I don't want to say buck, maybe not even around a, you know, I don't want to disclose your weight, but you're a small girl. Are you surrounded by like security or people or that help you? God forbid, a cobra attacks you or something. I mean, I'm trying to think of desert animals that might attack, but is there ever a fear for your life?
I think another aspect that I'm developing is the sense to, of course, to survive it, but it is more, as you say, yes, I am a short and a little person, but I do believe I have a very brave heart.
Spirit of a warrior.
So,
yeah.
Right. So one of the things that I learned is how those elements and how I can put everything together in a time that, you know, life is different. We are in here. I don't have nothing. It's just my mind. It's my preparation. And I learned it in per every desert how I can see the life for different angles. For this instance, be more patient, give a time to get more answers, have the spirit to be more humble, how the difficult things in regular life we come to be with, you know, with much anxiety.
I was going to say, it must mean nothing when you're out in the middle of nowhere to think like, oh, I can't find my red shirt that I wanted, so I'm going to throw a tantrum about that.
And then it's pretty interesting, right? In the regular life, you know, I very respect every philosophy, ideology. But sometimes, like you say, for that red shirt, some people, we do believe, you know, if I don't wear these particular pants or this particular shirt, probably I won't win. But when you are in there, you don't need absolutely nothing like that. You basically, what I learned is do not be attached with things.
The law of detachment.
Right. So this is the main thing, putting in the side of the materialist elements in life and just go the things, let the things go. So, you know, fly by yourself, put those dream goals, and you feel freedom. That's what is the key.
Well, I want to talk more about freedom. We have to take a quick break. We're talking to Edna Jacqueline, this week's Wonder Woman. She is a multi-terrain ultra marathoner. You're about to run another one coming up?
Yeah, I completed. I did,
did
Chile, China, Namibia, and Antarctica quite a few weeks ago.
Interesting. We're going to talk more about it right after this break.
This is the Frank Fontana Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the show, folks. We're here until 3 o'clock. Coming up after that, the boys from the beat will be talking all things Super Bowl. We're definitely not talking all things Super Bowl. We're talking about something pretty amazing, though. We're talking with Wonder Woman Edna Jacqueline, who is a ultra marathoner, has run across the world, literally, in these missions and does these multiple terrain competitions. Edna, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, my friends. It's a pleasure being here with you and all your everything here.
Thank you. Thank you. And so we're left off with the idea of being out in the middle of a desert by yourself. You have to pack your own bag, your own food, and run across these deserts where God knows what is waiting for you across the horizon. And the big question that I keep coming back to is, what is the deeply profound reason why? Like, what at the end of life for you does this all mean?
Yes, before I started that series in 2013, in 2012 I completed the 100 miles in Quero Marin, here with our neighbor state in Wisconsin. And I thought, like, you know, I want to be in a place that I can develop myself, find out my spiritual side. I want to see how far I can go with these three elements. As I said, it's a physical, mental, and a spiritual formula that I spoke.
So spiritually speaking, though, so are you Catholic? Are you are you religious or are you spiritual?
I think I practice both sides. I'm Catholic, but I do believe, like, in life we have someone who is higher than us, and the way that provide energy or provide peace or provide, you know, like, the possibility, which is a fate, to dissolving our own issues. It's like believe in something that I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from this perspective is how I came to be a good ultramarathoner, because, you know, as we spoke, we are in situations that is yourself, is believe in yourself, and is push yourself until you reach the survivor level.
And that's because it's just all you. There's no help from your husband. There's no help from anybody else. It's you, little Edna, out there running by herself.
Yes. Now,
I'm sure your husband's got worried. I mean, no cell phones, right?
No, you don't have cell phones.
Oh, so, I mean, this is comparable, honestly, to going on a mountaintop in Tibet and meditating with no food, no water for like 7 days. I mean, this is it's kind of that nature. And you do things like this to find out the deeper meanings to life, I believe, right?
Yes, absolutely. We were in, I was in Gobi. Gobi, China was the third desert that I run. After Chile, I run Gobi, then Namibia, and then Antarctica. When I was in Gobi, let me tell you, Gobi is, I respect each desert, but Gobi was rough. It was very extreme desert. We started close to the Mongolia mountains, and I started with a snow storm. Then in less than 24 hours, you change the scenario with raining, with ice, and windy. And then after quite a few hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, we were in the canyons. And then after canyons, you are in the sandstorm. So it's like your mind has to adapt in, because basically what I want to say is you directing your body. Your body don't direct your mind. You have to train in your mind and have the ability and capability to say, now we're going to run in here. So I was running and it stones, boom, 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 boom. And then it's like, oh my God, it's coming another mountain. And I saw far, like 6 or 7 miles, and you're like, oh my God. And I just thinking, like, for this instance, when you're working or you're playing with puzzles, you try to find out how, you know, how you go and put every piece to complete it. So when I saw far from me, the mountain is like, okay, so I have to be able to, you know, running and certain type of pace that I had to climb, and then have to be ready to down the hill. And
it's not just a flat; it's not just a desert. You're climbing mountains. You're going down mountains.
Right.
At any point in this, was your did your mind or your body say, I'm done. Like, I need to stop. Or you just in such a, well, I don't say runner's high, but almost a euphoric state that there's no stopping.
Yes, I'm emphasizing Gobi because for me it was one of the more difficult races. My body was very deteriorated in that third day. And then it was because, as I say, we started with snow, 20 degrees. And then after 10 hours or 12 hours, it was raining with ice. And for that, before I started the third day, I get hypothermia. And I never found that the weight, I never thought like, okay, I think I will have hypothermia. Yeah. No, I'm just like, this is the thing when you are adventure, in my perspective, is the ability to adapt in right away because you don't have any other
choice.
What do you
do? You're out in the middle of nowhere and you get hypothermia. Do they have medical vehicles nearby or do they have doctors that are part of the organization? I mean, who, first of all, who throws this? Like, who puts these on?
Actually, it's a lady from here from Chicago, but now she lives in Hong Kong, Mary Gadams. And then this is amazing how she provides those type of challenge. And she has the idea to bring people and across in the world. So back to the point in Gobi, that as I said before, I started the third day, I got it that. And I thought like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do because I got it with this level that I was checking. I just found that in my tent, two runners, they were already there and they helped me. Just they pull me out all the clothes. They take care of all the clothes. And they opened my sleeping bag and I was in the sleeping bag without, I think, between 5 or 6 hours. And I just covered myself. And I just can't tell you right now what I can remember. It was like a gray in my mind. I couldn't see nothing. It was blocked out. And I just hold myself with the cold that I have. But I know that if I ask it help or any other medication, I will be out of that race because we have, of course, to come back to the point too, we have a medical assistant.
The medical assistants. Right. There are some kind of officials that
they
are on site. Okay.
Right. So the organization has the management, they have a medical assistant, they have volunteer assistant. It's a pretty neat organization who they lead all the races. But and that one of the things that we have, if, as soon as you get help for them, you are out of the race because now you have advantage for other runners.
Interesting.
So I say, no, man, I have to find out because I'm
dig
the
deep
third
and make it happen. God, good Lord. So you go from hypothermia, you're like, oh, next day you're going to get up and run again?
Yes. So this was my concern. Like, how am I going to do that? Because I never find this, you know, this type of experiences. So I just start a little bit, feel better, better, and I thought I have to consume fat things. I have to, in this case, I brought almonds and I brought Parmesan cheese and I found that chocolate. So I needed to put
calories
in sugar in order to come back. So I have another, I think around another 8 hours until the day started, the following day, and I just like, I'm ready for it.
Wow.
And amazing. Then come back up through, and I completed that race. It was pretty amazing. So, it's and there the point is your sense, your spiritual, your adventure level, your endurance. It's like you put yourself, you take all these elements of your body and say, oh, this is who I am.
That's amazing. So now we got to wrap it up here in about a minute. Right. What are you doing with all this? Like, what is your mission now?
Yes, after I completed all the desert in December of last year, 2016, I come and put all the memories and all the experiences. And the first thing, I'm going to start working with our community and basically is give my message that everything is possible in order to follow your dreams and in order to find out who you are is basically be outside of your comfort zone. And
in your case, way outside.
And then find out anything that you want to do. And also, yesterday I have my first collection of memories in Pilsen community where I put some of those pictures and I have my personal speech. And this is one part of the beginning of my history.
Amazing. Edna Jacqueline, she has a website, Edna Jacqueline. That's EDNAJACKELINE. www.thefrankfontanashow.com. Go check it out. Fascinating story. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it and being a part of our Wonder Woman series.
Oh, thank you, my friend.
And keep on running, girl.
Yes.
Good Lord.
Keep it up. Thank you, everybody. And keep running. Keep dreaming and keep love freely.
We run into the fridge for the Super Bowl snacks later. That's about as far as I'm going. All right. It's close to 2:30, which means we're just about ready for another news update with our very own Veronica Carter.